Hi guys, welcome to the new episode of our podcast. So we have Swastik. Swastik was there in a previous episode about exoplanets. So I'll just introduce him in short. So Swastik is a fourth year student at ISER Tirupati. He is doing BSMS dual degree course with Earth and Climate Science as his major and Physics as his minor. He is also co-founder of Athang Astronomy Club and coordinator of Celestic, which is Astronomy Club of ISER Tirupati. He is leader of India Network of Camps and SETI Institute project sponsored by NASA. He is also visiting teacher at Rajaram College in Kolhapur. So we have him today to discuss about or to talk about volcanoes. So I welcome you, Swastik.
Yeah, hi. Hi, Jenny.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah. So we all know what are volcanoes. Everyone knows because it's taught in, you know, it's taught in third grade or something like fourth standard. But let's come to the point where what are these types of different types of volcanoes?
Okay, so generally when the word volcano pops in front of us, in front of our eyes, the picture that comes in our mind is that there is a big, huge mountain with a top covered with glacier and is erupting a lot amount of ash and there's whole amount of lava coming out and there are like huge earthquakes, tremors, everyone is running very, very far away from it and shouting and these kind of things. But well, that's not the only type of volcano. Generally, this is one which erupts very loudly or kind of makes conventional kind of show off. But there are other types too which these are kind of lazy. So based on how they erupt, there are three types. So one is shield volcanoes, second is cinder cones, and third is strato volcanoes. So these volcanoes differ not only in how they erupt, but they also differ in their size, how are they shaped, and the materials they erupt, so, etc. I won't say that these are the only three factors, but there are a lot more. Okay, so shields and cinder cones are volcanoes that erupt basaltic lava. Okay, so basaltic lava means the lava which will go on to create the basalt rocks, the dark black rocks which we generally use in construction. So basaltic lava is I'll say a denser lava with less silica and less gases. Okay, so because of that, it's very hot and it moves faster, rapidly. Okay, that's its first property. So, and because of that property, because it moves rapidly, and the reason is it's less viscous. So, because it moves rapidly, what happens is that as it erupts, it will spread fast. It will spread fast, very fast outwards, and because of that, the shield volcanoes are spread over large distance. For example, if you consider the Mauna Kea or Mauna Loa at Hawaii, if you observe the sizes, then their heights are considering the sea floor. Yes, their heights are about 8-9 kilometers from the sea floor. And if you observe their length from one edge to another edge, it's about more than 100 kilometers. Okay, so the steepness of these volcanoes is just about 5-6 degrees. That's how spread these volcanoes are, the shield volcanoes are. And generally, these do not show any sign of explosions with them. There are some volcanic events. For example, you observed the Iceland volcano, the Bergafjall, which erupted earlier this year. So these are some other examples. Okay, they don't show any signs of explosions. Okay, big explosions. Okay, and second is cinder cones. So compared to the size of shield, cinder cones are pretty small. So like these are generally about 300, 400 meters huge, and these are formed because of the air present, not air, gases present in the lava, like there are some water vapors, sulfur dioxide, etc. So what happened is that as the lava is coming out from the vent, so the gases will be the first one to come outwards, and with them there is a huge amount, like the gases will carry outwards the rock overlying the vent, also some of the upper surface of the lava. Like if you observe anything, like if you observe anything hot boiling outwards, before it topples outwards, there is some small parts jumping outwards, it creates some drops of water jumping, right? You will observe that. Because of the gas which is coming out, that process will get a bit messy. Okay, so like there is a huge amount of particles of lava which is coming outwards, which will cool down as it falls down, and will create the cinders. Okay, or cinders are small. I won't call them small. Okay. So there are three types of volcanic rocks. Okay, so there is ash, there is slaty, which is called as cinder, and then there are blocks or bombs. So ash is like less than 2 millimeter size, and then bombs and blocks are like more than 64 millimeter size. They can be over 1-2 meters tall. Their size can be of 1-2 meters tall. So between these two, there is something called a cinder. So in generally, most of the rocks erupted by cinder cone are of cinder type, and that's why it's called a cinder cone. So these cinders will make a small mountain, a mound around the vent, but it'll be a loose mound, because unlike in case of shields and stratovolcanoes, there the lava comes out and it solidifies to make the rock, make the volcanic rock. In this case, what's happening is that even before the volcano is formed, even before the rocks are attached to volcano, that lava particles are, the lava particles or lava blobs are already cooled down, while they fall back on the earth. So they are loose, they are not solid. So it's a loose mound, varying from 100 to 300 meters size. So like at the end of their phase, the thing is that they erupt only once. So at the end of their phase, you observe lava flow coming outwards, but the lava flow does not come from the vent, because as it's a loose mountain, instead of coming from the vent, the lava flow will come from the side. And finally, we have the stratovolcanoes. Okay, so these are like the big, elegant, beautiful looking volcanoes when they're not erupting. And when they're erupting, these are the craterous volcanoes. Okay, so unlike shield and cinder cones, they erupt something called as rhyolitic lava. So compared to the basaltic lava, rhyolitic lava has more silica and more gases in it, and because of that it's less denser, but then also it's because of its less temperature, it's also more viscous. Okay, because of the silica, more gases and less temperature of it, it's also more viscous. So what happened is that unlike shield volcanoes, where the lava is spreading far outward where it cools down, the lava flows very small amount, okay, before it cools down, and it kind of makes a huge big structure. So like the seeps of these mountains can be of 30 to 40 degrees compared to the steepness of the shield volcano, just 5 to 6 degrees. And then when they erupt, it erupts both magnificently and dangerously. So these are the three types. Okay.
Yeah, they sound very dangerous to me already.
Yeah. Well, not all of them.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Actually, they are very fascinating phenomena in this in the nature.
Yes.
So talking about which, you know, how are these volcanoes formed, you know? I want to know.
There are a few different ways. Okay, like the volcano cannot pop out at some place suddenly. Okay, so generally these strato volcanoes which I mentioned, or the big huge erupting ones. So these volcanoes are located on something called the Ring of Fire. Okay, so if you have heard about the plate tectonics. I think you all have heard about that because it was taught in geography in 7th, 8th, I don't know its standards.
Yeah.
So we were told that all the continents were joined together and then they moved apart. Right, like we had something called as Pangaea, then we had also Eurasia, etc. And then it broke apart and then they moved apart away from each other. And then we had the 7 continents as you see right now. So all these movements is happen through something called as the plate tectonic series. So where we have plates, they are like the earth is divided into about 2 dozen plates. 7 of them which are majors and then others are very very small plates. So these plates are something like you can call them as broken pieces of a sphere which are attached together to make a sphere or a ball, let's say. Okay, because these plates are only found in the crust or something called the lithosphere hole. Okay, so you can just call them broken pieces of the ball which someone joined together to make a ball. So these plates show 3 different motions. Okay, they are either move towards each other or move away from each other, or they move past each other. Okay, like they slide along each other. So the ones which move towards each other, okay, so the denser one, which generally is the oceanic plate, will go under the less denser one, which generally is the continental plate, and then at one point, because as the oceanic plate is sinking downwards, it also carries the water with it, and at one point the temperature will be hot enough that the addition of water will melt the rocks there. Okay, melt the oceanic plate there or the other rocks to there, and then that molten part, that's what we call as partial melting, and those partially molten rocks will now have less density than the other rocks around it, and it will move upwards. And as it moves upwards, and this upward moving phenomenon will be observed on the continent of it. Okay, so like about 100 kilometers away from the position where the plates are colliding. And then this upward motion will give rise to the volcanoes. Okay, so these are generally strato volcanoes. You can observe the strato volcanoes as something called the Ring of Fire, where the Pacific plate and the American plate and the Asian plate are interacting. Okay, so all the cascade-like volcanoes and the volcanoes in Japan and the volcanoes in New Zealand, all of them are lie on the same ring. Okay, it's not exactly a ring, but it's a C shape. Okay, other the Ring of Fire it is. Then there are the shield volcanoes. Okay, so like you will observe that the Hawaiian volcanoes are located in between the shield. Sorry, in between the plate. Okay, so I said earlier that all the volcanic activity is only located at the edge of the shields, right? Edge of the plates, right? So like when there are plates going towards each other, you have the strato volcanoes. You also observe some volcanic activity when the plates are going apart, okay? So like as the plates are going near each other, the because of the decreasing pressure, the underlying rocks will melt and will come upwards. But then these don't make a volcano, but it will make new oceanic surface. Okay, but then the shield volcanoes are generally located in the center of a plate. Okay, they are not located on the edge of the plate. Okay, so these shield volcanoes are associated with something called a mantle plume. Okay, so mantle plumes are thought to be produced from the outer core of the Earth. So there is from the outer core, there is some heating, like some hot molten rock coming outwards, which is giving rise to the melting of the rocks in the atmosphere. As it is like associated with the outer core, so these mantle plumes do not move from their place. Okay, so like if there is one place in the atmosphere they are associated with, so then they will not move from that place. Okay, so atmosphere means the rocks which lie below the upper lithosphere. Okay, so lithosphere is the hard rocks, while atmosphere is softened rocks, have softened rocks because of the heat. So these mantle plumes are located at a single point in the atmosphere. So as the lithosphere is moving, because of that, what will happen is that at one point the volcano will be at one position, but then as the lithosphere moves, that volcano will move away from the mantle plume and it will go extinct. And there will be a new formation, new volcano. Okay, so you will observe that, for example, the Hawaii volcanoes, so you observe that they are not just a single volcano there. Okay, so there is a chain which connects the Hawaiian volcanoes with other volcanoes. You will observe that there is a chain of volcanic mounts there. Okay, and Hawaii too, it's more like the Mauna Kea and the other volcanoes, the Mauna Kea and the volcanoes on the I'll say western part of the Hawaii, well, were active in the past, but as time went, now the Mauna Kea volcano is not active, but the Mauna Loa and the Hualalai volcanoes are active. And you will also observe that there is another volcanic mound forming in the ocean, just in the underneath the ocean. Okay, it's named as Loihi as of now. So these are associated with the mantle plumes. Okay, and the mantle plume is one of the evidences you can use to find out the tectonics. So these are few of the things which are. These are few of the, things associated with the volcanoes. Okay, and finally, the cinder cones are more like they are associated with either a caldera or a shield volcano. So, at a caldera, you observe that there are a lot of vents which connect the original magma chamber, sub vents, and those sub vents create the cinder cones. So at a shield volcano or at a volcanic caldera, we found out that around the main vent, there are a lot of different small vents or these small cinder cones present around the original vent. So yeah.
Yeah. So you talked about the eruptions, right? So
Yeah.
So the scientists they predict the eruptions like long before, which is actually going to happen. So how do they predict these eruptions?
Well, the prediction system of volcanoes is, I won't say that you can exactly predict them. But the thing is, there are a few precursors which a volcano shows before it erupts.
Okay.
So if you're living around a volcano, okay. So So if generally the precursors, these precursors contain like there is an increase in frequency and intensity of the earthquakes, you can also observe some noticeable steaming or funerary activity. Okay, funerary activity means generally, as I said earlier, is volcano, the lavas or magmas are associated with some gases which generally contains some sulfur dioxide and carbon dioxide and some water vapors. So you'll observe increase in the activity, like the steaming of these gases, like the gas coming outwards, or also you will observe that there are enlarged areas, okay, or new from areas of hot ground. Okay, so hot ground means like you'll observe, for example, in the in Yellowstone there are few lakes, right? There's hot water springs and there is a lake, the is it Grand? Something Grand. What is it? Forgot the name. It's Grand something, right? So then there are these lakes and hot springs in Yellowstone. So you observe the water there is very very hot, right? So like all of these are because of the magma chamber underneath it. So in these kind of activities you'll observe there. So they also will be a swelling of the ground surface. So as the magma is inserted into magma chamber, so it will swell the upper ground. So if you have read about the 1980s Saint Helens eruption, then or a piercing features, then there was a huge amount of swelling observed there on the mountain, different erupted. And then you also observe some changes in the heat flows and changes in the composition or abundance of the funerary gases. So all of these are the precursors which are observed before an eruption. The thing is that although you observe these precursors, it is very hard to tell that when exactly the volcano erupts. Okay, so after the precursors have started showing, the volcano can erupt like 2 days later after the precursors, or even a few hours after the precursors. It can be weeks, can be months, or it can even be years. Okay, but like sometimes what will happen is that a volcano will show precursors and then it will suddenly stop showing it. So like, there won't be any eruption associated with it. Like there is a volcano which in Italy, I think, which has been showing precursors for last 60 years, but it hasn't erupted it. Yeah. So it's very hard to tell like the exact time of the when the volcano erupts, but you can guess the when the volcano is close to eruption, but you can't exactly spot out like this day at this time the volcano is going to erupt. Okay, so the better thing to do is that just evacuate the area as soon as the precursor, like in the beginning if the precursors are small, then you know that you have some time, but as the precursors start going, it's better if you evacuate the area. So that's the only chance, I'd say.
So speaking about in general discussion, so how would one find out that this volcano is going to erupt or explode? And if it explodes or erupts, so how dangerous these volcanoes can be?
So as I just said, you can look for these precursors which tell you when the volcano will erupt. Okay, like that was your first question, right? How can you tell a volcano is going to erupt? So you can look for these precursors, and so like generally the, as I said earlier, the eruptions are associated with the earthquakes. Okay, so as the volcano closes its eruption, generally the earthquakes grows louder. Bigger. Okay, so like there will be one specific earthquake which can trigger the eruption, or something snaps or something happens which can trigger the eruption. Okay, so like it's hard to tell, but then when it's gonna erupt, but then you can look for the precursors. And then as I said earlier, the two volcanoes, Shield and Cinder Cones, they won't cause any harm generally. not at least not any deaths are associated with these volcanoes. Okay, so like it can be they can cause some economical harm, like destroying buildings and cities because the lava flows. We can't do anything about that. But then the lava flows are, although I said they are fast, but you can easily walk them out. Okay, like if you are just walking, you can easily overtake the lava flow. Okay, you can easily win if there is a walking race between the lava flow and you. So you can like easily walk past the lava flow. Okay, but that's not the thing which can be deadly. It's deadly about volcanoes. Okay, so when it comes to shadow volcanoes, so the associated with the eruption, with the lava, because of the huge amount of gases present there, you'll also observe something called as pyroclastic flow and an ash cloud. Okay, so pyroclastic flow is a huge cloud of ash and debris moving rapidly. Okay, pyroclastic flows can move at speeds of hundreds of kilometers per hour. Okay, so like as gentle as it was, I think 180 kilometers per hour speed of the pyroclastic flow.
Whoa, it will nearly destroy some part.
Yeah. Like you can't walk out. You can't even like be in a car and go on sunset flow. Okay, like, your only chance is if you own an F1 car or Bugatti or something like that, which have very rapid acceleration, etc. Okay, but then, for that you have to be BMW engineer. But then, in general, you can't walk out these pyroclastic flows. Okay, and the ash in these flows can be very hot. Okay, that's the first thing. And the second thing, deadly about the stratovolcanoes can be the lahars. Okay, so generally, because of their top, a huge, because of their high mounts, the tops of these volcanoes are generally covered in glaciers. Okay, so as the lava is inserted into the magma chamber and as the vent opens, so the upper parts of the mount will heat up, which will melt the glacier, and you will observe floods. Okay, so these floods will contain like the debris as they come down slope, as they flow down from the mountain, they'll collect debris, and then like it will be a flood. It'll get a huge flood. Okay, that's something, and they are known as lahars. And the interesting thing is that these lahars they can be associated with eruptions. They can not also be associated with eruptions. Okay, so if there is no eruption, but you observe some huge amount of rain on the top, then also you'll observe some lahars. And the third thing is you can have landslides and huge earthquakes because of these eruptions. Okay, so these earthquakes are associated with both shield and shadow volcanoes, but then the pyroclastic flows and lahars are the things which are associated with only with the shadow volcanoes. Okay, so like they look beautiful, like the pyroclastic flows and the ash cloud can look beautiful or stunning, but it can be deadly. The ash clouds can give rise to like ash fall. For example, the St. Helens eruption. I'm taking the example of St. Helens because it was a recent really big eruption. Okay, so the St. Helens eruption has the aftermath of St. Helens eruption from that around the volcano is in the area around the volcano there was a layer of 2-inch. There are 2-inch layer of ash fall, and the ash fall was spread like covered about half of the USA, like with an average of like 1 to 1.5 to 1 inches of ash fall, ash layer. Okay, so and the ash clouds can also give rise to acid rains. Okay, so these are the various different disasters or hazards that can be caused by a volcano.
Imagine if all the volcanoes go boom at the same time.
Oh, damn. But that will be the doomsday. Okay, that will be the last day we will see.
So, speaking about these eruptions and explosions, is there any way to stop this eruption?
now low, because like you cannot stop the eruptions. I mean,
because
you can
nature.
Maybe cause, yeah?
It's nature, we cannot, you know.
Yeah. What you can do is that you can trigger the eruption earlier, if the eruption is going to happen in 2 months, you can say that I want this to happen now, and you can do something to trigger it, but then you cannot stop it.
Yes.
Yeah. It's natural that you cannot stop natural things.
Yeah.
There's a movie, I don't know, there's a cold movie, I think it was named Volcano, I don't know, I forgot the name. So like in that movie, they had shown that they use a bus to stop a lava flow. I mean, it was kind of hilarious because the temperature of the lava is gonna be some 900,000 degrees Celsius, and so it's gonna melt the bus. You can use these kinds of facts in movies and you can have fun around, have joke around them, but no, you can't use a bus, so you can't use these kind of things to laugh. There is no way you can stop lava.
Yeah. These volcanoes are very beautiful and fascinating phenomena, but they also sound very dangerous because they are dangerous.
Yeah.
So
you wanna know, these strata volcanoes are not even the biggest things, okay? So they are just small. They are just like the Saint Helens. If you consider that, was just a small eruption, okay? So there were a few big ones which happened earlier too. For example, the Vesuvius. If you might have heard about the Vesuvius volcano, okay? So it's in Italy.
Okay.
So in 79th AD, it erupted. Okay, and the eruption was 1,000 times bigger than that of the Hiroshima and Nagasaki bombs.
Whoa.
Okay, 1,000 times bigger. Yeah, and at that time, the city near the volcano, there was Herculaneum and Pompeii. Okay, so there was about 20,000 population living there. Okay, and as of now, in both the cities, we have found ash-covered, fossilized human bodies. Okay, from that period, about 1,500 human bodies there. But we still don't know what was the death toll of that eruption.
Yeah.
Okay, and compared to that, if you consider the super eruptions, okay, compared to the super eruptions, the Vesuvius is also just a small thing. Okay, just a small thing.
Yeah.
The Yellowstone, the super eruption, the Yellowstone caldera, okay? So Yellowstone caldera, the Yellowstone Park, which we call, okay, so some people say that there is a volcano located in the Yellowstone Park.
Yes, yes.
Okay, they are wrong. Okay, because the thing is, the Yellowstone Park is located on the top of the volcano. Okay, it's inside the volcano caldera.
Yeah, I read about one article about this. So they say that when the volcano or the Yellowstone Park is located on that volcano, if it erupts, it will wipe out half of the USA. Yeah.
Not half of the US, okay? It will wipe out half of the USA. It will cover the whole USA with about at least 5 to 6 millimeters of ash layer, and the ash cloud will also cover also power to cover the whole world. Okay, the eruption is something called as eight on the scale of the volcanic eruption index, okay, VEI index, on the scale 8. Okay, so the eruption of the St. Helens was on the scale 4. Okay, it's a logarithmic scale. Okay, it's a logarithmic scale. You can compare how big the eruption is gonna be. Okay, it's gonna be a million times. The eruption is gonna be a million times bigger than the Hiroshima Nagasaki bombs. Okay,
That's huge. That's very huge.
Yeah, it's gonna be one of the doomsday.
Exactly. So.
And thing is, interesting is, the supercalder has erupted like thrice. Okay, with a gap of about 7 lakh years in between. And the last eruption was about 0.63 million years ago. Because some people say that the volcano is close to its eruption. Yeah. Okay, if you just do the math.
It might exist.
But then, yeah, but the thing is, well, you can't say just by math that a volcano will develop. Okay, so like there are some ways by which you can measure how much lava is in the magma chamber, and then it's found out that the magma chamber is just 5-15% molten. So there isn't enough lava magma to power eruption. But if it would happen, it's gonna cause a lot of havoc.
This volcano is a very
badass. Yes, yeah. Yes. Badass things.
Yeah, so we talked about the volcanoes which are present on the Earth, but are volcanoes, there will be these volcanoes present on other planets, and how are they? Like, what are these volcanoes on the other planets?
A lot of volcanoes are present. I mean, like, if you consider example of Mars, you can easily spot out the four big mounds, right?
Yeah.
So the Olympus Mons being the biggest one. Okay, it's the biggest mountain in the whole solar system, like 21 kilometers with height. Right. So, well, it's an extinct volcano. Okay, it's not active currently, but it was active some time ago when the core was enough liquid,
like
to power eruptions, etc. But then it's now extinct. But that's one of the examples. And the Venus is another geologically active planet. Okay, as of now, it's thought that there are about 37 active volcanoes found on the second part of the solar system, okay, the Venus.
Whoa.
So, but like these, it's thought that the Venus is so similar to Earth. Like we don't exactly know what kind of rocks, because the most of the inner planets are formed with the same content. Okay, like the outer parts of the planets are formed made up of a lot of lighter elements and silica. And then the inner cores are made up of iron. Okay, so the outer core consists of aluminum ores or aluminum minerals and magnesium, manganese, etc. minerals. The lighter sodium, potassium kind of minerals. So, like, it's thought that the volcano of Venus are also like similar to Earth. Okay, but other than these. You can also find out like there are geysers which are also associated with volcanic activities. Okay, so there are geysers found on Ganymede, right? Like the Ganymede is getting nice to Ganymede and the moon of Saturn, Enceladus. So that Enceladus is thought to have formed the e-ring of Saturn, right? So the planet has geysers. The moon has geysers on it, so these geysers are powered by the plumes, mantle plumes kind of stuff. So they will heat the mantle plumes will heat up the water. Like it's thought that the Enceladus has an ocean underneath its icy surface, so it will heat up the oceanic water and it will reject it outwards. So that's a geyser. So you saw that there are a lot of geysers present on the Enceladus. So this is another proof of volcanic activity on all other bodies. It's also present on Europa, then the moon of Pluto, Titan. So it does not have the same volcanoes as Earth, but it has something called as cryovolcanoes and cryogeysers. Okay, so cryogenesis means like instead of erupting outwards the molten rock, it's found out that it's erupting liquid nitrogen, okay, liquid nitrogen gases,
yes.
And very cold elements. Okay, like cryogenesis means, cryo means cold. So these are, instead of erupting these hot molten rocks, these are erupting cold stuff, I'll say. So like, these are some of the examples, but then you can also find a lot of them spread over this other thing.
Yeah, this is interesting because you don't get to talk about the volcanoes outside, the volcanoes which are not present on Earth and which are present on the other planets.
Mm-hmm.
They're very strange.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah. So it was really a nice discussion with you.
Yeah. So I want to mention one thing. Yes, one last kind of line, I'll say. So like the fascinating things about volcanoes and the Earth tectonics, like the plate tectonics, is that they kind of show that a planet is kind of alive, it's moving.
Yeah.
There are more movements observed on the planet. Like it's really fascinating, to just imagine that our planet is alive. It's like a really fascinating realization. It's just like a boom in your brain.
And the curiosity, it leads us to study things.
Yes.
So it was really great talking with you about the volcanoes.
Yeah, so thanks for having me.
Yeah. So I hope the audience find it interesting, because I found it very interesting.
I think it is really interesting.
It is interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.